And welcome back. Hour number two of the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. It is Friday, a quiet Friday here in central Wisconsin. Still been pretty overcast, but I think we might be getting a little bit of sunshine coming up soon. And today, sitting in for our normal guy, Ray Miller, we got Mandy Thaluber, meteorologist from weatherology.com. Mandy, good to talk to you.
Hey, you as well. And yeah, that stubborn cloud cover really is just sticking around to the area. There's actually plenty of sunshine right now in the upper Midwest, but just the stubborn cloud deck just kind of hovering over central Wisconsin. So sorry about that. But you know what? It's making a difference in the temperatures because where the clouds are, it's in the lower to mid-20s. Where the sunshine is, it's in the single digits and teens. So, I mean, we take what we can get when we get these certain types of situations, but some sunshine would be absolutely wonderful. And we do have sunshine in the forecast for your weekend. We're going to start to see some decreasing cloud cover as we head through the evening hours. We're going to drop into the single digits. It's going to be a little chilly tonight. Lots of sunshine, though, for Saturday. Temperatures will be warming into the mid-20s. Areas of fog possible Saturday night into early Sunday morning will drop to 9 degrees for your low. Upper 20s expected on Sunday with that sunshine. We'll start the work week with partial sunshine and the low 30s. And temperatures look great next week. Really just mid to upper 20s, quiet weather. We'll see a bit more cloud cover into Tuesday and Wednesday. And our next chance for any precipitation looks to come in on Thursday. I'm meteorologist Mandy Thaluber.
Yeah, not bad at all. I mean, for this time of year to have a little bit of quiet, I mean, we know that eventually we'll start to, you know, get some of that winter type weather and some, you know, winter like storm conditions. But boy, just to have a little bit of time. But you're right in terms of the sunshine. I need some. I'll take a little bit colder because it just makes you feel better to see a little bit of sunshine. And that's going to be nice to get at least a little bit.
Absolutely. So, yes. So, sorry about the sunshine today with that stubborn cloud deck, but tomorrow and Sunday, get out and enjoy some vitamin D.
Okay, Mandy. Well, thank you very much. Have yourself a great weekend, and we'll talk again real soon.
Sounds good.
And right now, overcast skies in Wausau, temperature of 21 degrees. The winds out of the north at 5 miles per hour, so a wind chill factor of 14. The dew point is 15 degrees, relative humidity of 78%, the barometer at 30.11 inches, and a visibility of 10 miles. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. The time is 3:10. Again, we're hoping to get a chance to talk to Marathon County Board Supervisor John Robinson in this hour. Of course, he let me know that there is a special meeting going on. You never know how those terms, in terms of the length of those meetings, but we do hope to talk to John coming up a little bit later on in this hour. Also, don't forget that tonight we do have high school basketball, a doubleheader, inner-city battle as Wausau West will play host to DCF. Not really inner-city, but inner-area battle as the Evergreens will make the short trek over to Wausau West tonight to take on the Warriors in both boys and girls basketball. When I'm done with this program, I'll be heading over to the Fieldhouse, be back on the air for the pregame show at 5:40 and the opening tip-off at 6 p.m. right here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bullfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa. Also, of course, on Sunday night, Packers will try to get into the playoffs. The Packers, who are dead, they were 4-8, but they won 4 games in a row. And now all they have to do is win. Don't have to worry about anybody else. Win and they're in. Take on the Detroit Lions. And again, it's interesting because Detroit and the Packers are tied. But Detroit, they actually need to win and they need some help because late Sunday afternoon, the Seattle Seahawks will take on the LA Rams. If Seattle wins that game, Detroit is eliminated. That would mean they would have nothing to play for Sunday night at Lambeau. If Seattle loses that game, that means the Packer-Lion game would have everything to play for because the winner would move on to the playoffs. So it should be interesting one way or the other. I think if you're a Green Bay Packer fan, you'd rather see Seattle win because that means, again, Detroit would have nothing to play for. And boy, Seattle fans are very, very, very upset that the NFL has scheduled the game between the Seahawks and the Rams not to start at the same time as the Packers and the Lions. They think it's very unfair because if they win, they're going to be counting on Detroit to win. And if Detroit doesn't have anything to play for, that makes, again, Seattle very, very unhappy. We got to take a quick break, but we're going to come back again. Glad you could spend a little time with us here on this Friday afternoon. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230, bowfallsradio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. And welcome back. Chad Holmes Show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. The time is 3:16, overcast skies and 21 degrees in Wausau. And very happy to welcome back to the program, and his timing impeccable, as always, Marathon County Board Supervisor John Robinson. And John, thanks for coming back in.
Thank you for having me.
I know that you said you had, was it a full board meeting or a committee meeting? What was on your plate this afternoon?
We had a special meeting of the county board. Earlier in the day, we had a special meeting of the Human Resources, Finance, and Property Committee. We were talking about the acquisition of the landfill gas rights at the Marathon County Landfill, which we had basically transferred or sold years ago to Fiber Recovery, and we had the first right of refusal and an option if there was a transfer of those gas rights, and we voted to pursue trying to buy those gas rights back.
So it's the start of a process, basically.
Well, we had today was the deadline that we had to match the offer.
Okay.
And so we have done that, and that is being communicated to the parties as we speak.
Very good. Today, the last time you were here, as you left, you mentioned, boy, got to talk about broadband. And I want to talk about that because that's obviously a very significant issue basically from here as you go north, because there's so much rural area in the state of Wisconsin when you get north of Wausau. And it's actually something I've noticed over the years, because in my travels to do broadcasts, we use the internet and I use a hotspot. And mm-hmm. I've noticed in recent years, it is getting better in some areas. Is that the way you look at it, or are there just so many still holes out there?
Well, there are still holes, and it's not just north of Wausau. You know, we've been in, have the privilege of chairing the Marathon County Broadband Task Force and been working on broadband issues since 2008. Mm-hmm. But you know, Dane County, rural parts of rural Dane County, the way Wisconsin laws are crafted, it's very difficult for governments to take a leadership role in providing broadband, so we need to work with the internet service providers. And until the pandemic hit, there was a reluctance to, in many times, look at rural areas because of the low return on investment. There's been an infusion of dollars in the state and the federal level. Governor Evers has made a significant investment in broadband expansion, and as part of the pandemic relief and Other legislation that's occurred on the federal level, there's been a significant infusion. There's $42 billion that's going to be spent over the next few years on broadband expansion, but that's not enough. It's so we have to be careful. But so what we do in Marathon County is look at how do we partner with the internet service providers, and we'll work with anybody and everybody to do that, as our other communities. There are some leaders. Vilas County was a good leader, but they were relying many times on expanding through wireless service, which has limitations, line of sight, foliage, and other things impact it. Although we have a condo in St. Germain, and they just ran fiber to our condo, mm-hmm. so that's a good thing. But there still are a lot of people that are underserved. And what the pandemic showed us is what we already knew, was that there are areas that where it's inadequate. And we saw with the need for telework, for virtual education, for communication with family through WebEx or Zoom or whatever, the needs for steady, reliable internet services is critical. It's like rural electrification.
You said that as part of this task force and part of local government, that what you can do is limited. To delve a little closer to it, what can you do and what can't you do? I guess because you said you have to work a lot with the internet providers, but is there anything that you can do without having to basically go to them and say, how are we going to make this work?
Well, our role is to, you know, help to quantify the need and target resources. We have the ability to use county funds to create incentives for internet service providers to go into areas. And here are some of the things that Marathon County has done. We took $250,000 out of and put it into the capital budget a couple of years ago for broadband expansion that we used to match or provide a local match in some cases for Serenity or Wittenberg Telephone Company. We've partnered with Bug Tussle, with Country Wireless, with others, sometimes Frontier, Charter, Spectrum, sometimes successfully, sometimes not. We've submitted applications working with Spectrum to the National Telephonics Information Administration to get a grant. We were unsuccessful in that. But we're trying to identify where the need is. And historically, we've looked at unserved areas and underserved areas. Unserved areas were, for a long period of time, those that had less than 10 megabytes down, 1 megabyte of service up. That's now 25.3, and they're moving toward 100, 100, or 120. 100 down, 20 up, but a standard. Because our broadband use is going up every year. So we can try to identify where those areas are. We were relying on the Federal Communication Commission's data, which was wrong. If one person in a census tract, which could be a whole township, mm-hmm. had service, a whole township was considered served. We've been encouraging people to take speed tests. I encourage you. We've got in the county's website a link to a speed test being done by Geo Partners for the Area Economic Development Authorities. But we take that information. We'll figure out how we can use county resources in the future. We've also partnered with companies like Bug Tussle. Bug Tussle approached us and a number of other counties about doing conduit bonding, where they would be able to access lower interest loans and expand service. And they did a $70+ million bond issue with five counties. $25 million of that is being spent in Marathon County. Mm. It's being used to build 16 towers for wireless service, and it's also being used to expand fiber with a goal long-term of trying to get fiber to every home. That may not be feasible or affordable, but it's a step in the right direction. But we also got out of that relationship with Bug Tussle access to those towers. And in one case, we had our communication tower for law enforcement go down in Dancy, and we're able to put our equipment on their new tower and saved the county several hundreds of thousands of dollars. So there's some good things that came out of it. We get some strands, fiber strands that we can use for our purposes, and a lot of good things have come out of that. But we're willing to work with anybody and everybody. There are federal funds that are coming in through the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund, Spectrum Communication Charter is doing a, will be providing gigabyte service in parts of northern and western Marathon County. The Public Service Commission, and we partnered together with Bug Tussle for a project in the Corona Water Knowlton area where we'll be serving 630 plus parties. We're partnering with Frontier on providing service to 10,000 people, where we're, in the case of Frontier, we're matching $944,000 using the American Rescue Plan Act dollars. We're providing $142,000 to Bug Tussle, and we're looking at ways of making lower interest loans available to them as well. But that, we can leverage our dollars. We can use the American Rescue Plan dollars to target it. But we can also create that information and education with the public. But we can't provide the service. We commissioned a report by Design 9 for the county. We had in 2008, we hired Alerts and Associates to do a study in broadband. They found that there was significant portions of the county, particularly rural areas, that were underserved. They made a number of recommendations, and one of the things that the county did at that time said, we're going to rely on the private sector to expand service. Well, in 2015, they revisited it and said, the private sector hasn't delivered. But there's limited options as what the local government can do. We then commissioned a report by Design 9. They came back and had a series of 35 towers throughout the county with fiber connecting them to increase the capacity of that. We met with the internet service providers and said, if we built this system, because we can't provide the service to the home, will you rent the towers or the fiber from us? Unanimously, no, they would not. So it didn't make any sense for the county to provide the backbone of that. We then began to refocus on how do we work with the providers and get them to do it. And the infusion of federal dollars and state dollars has helped.
Real quickly, again, we're talking to John Robinson from the Marathon County Board. When you talk about the towers, because I was actually having a discussion with somebody else in radio in the last week, and he had said that he had heard that there was a lot, after the pandemic, a lot more towers have been put up, that the pandemic actually sparked that. Is that something that you've seen?
Yes, there has been a significant expansion of towers, and the value of towers, particularly with Bug Tussle, I don't mean to single them out, but I will, because there are value. They partner with AT&T, and so they build the tower. They put their equipment on for wireless internet, but then AT&T comes on and puts their equipment on for cell service.
Which, so I got AT&T. It's not that great, so
it's not that great, but it's better than it would have been. And one of the things is, as you move into the 5G, you need more towers because the range is less, but it's more intense within that range. But so from a communication perspective, hopefully it's increased access. But 52% of the data that we get is through cell phones. So when you start thinking about, you know, it's not only wired, you know, having the fiber to your home, it's the ability to communicate and transmit data over the airwaves. And that's where towers play an important role. You think about it, you know, everybody lives on their smartphones. And how much data, the weather, the latest sports scores, other things, all transmitted that way. So it's important that we not only have the fiber, but we have the backbone for communication. And that's one of the benefits of that arrangement we have with Bug Tussle. And other companies are making similar investments in the area and trying to enhance their service. And they share some of the towers.
I got another question or two about this issue. We have to take a quick break and then try to get some thoughts on some other issues as well before we wrap things up. But again, he's John Robinson from the Marathon County Board. I'm Chad Holmes. We got a news update coming up, both a CBS news update and then also an update from our Civic Media newsroom. And then we'll come back with some more with John Robinson. Again, Marathon County Board Supervisor joining us here on this Friday. I'm Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show here on Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO.
Last night, I
Welcome back, Chad. Home show here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. BowFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO with John Robinson, Marathon County Board Supervisor. Again, appreciate him popping over after a special county board meeting this afternoon. Again, about the broadband access. You talked about, you said you've been working on this on a committee since when?
Well, the counties had different committees since 2008.
Yeah,
We had a task force back then that made a series of recommendations and findings, and it was really to rely on the private sector. There was a connectivity task force in 2015, and then back in 2019, early 20, we began creating this task force, and the pandemic really highlighted the need.
Yeah, I'm going to ask about, again, this private aspect, relying on the private sector, but you mentioned in one of your answers about unserved and underserved. How have those numbers changed over the years? Where do we stand right now on unserved and underserved in Marathon County, and how slow has the process been?
Well, we don't know where we are right now. There's been a significant amount of work that's been done or that is planned on being done. You know, I mentioned Frontier, 10,000 customers. Bug Tussle is stringing 16 towers and 370 miles of fiber. Charter Spectrum is doing a lot of work in the county. So we don't have a good feel of where there are. That's why it's important. The FCC has a process by which you can test your speeds, as well as the geo partners through us. We really need that data to get a better feel. We've come a long way over the last 3 years, but we've got a long way to go. You know, it's towns like Harrison. You get up in the town of Texas with all the rolling hills and geology and foliage that create problems for wireless. So you really need to run fiber, and it's pretty hard rock up there.
It was interesting. Last spring, I drove from here to Rib Lake for a broadcast. Right. And in order to get there, I kind of needed my phone because I didn't have the old-fashioned map. And all of a sudden, I turned on my phone. No service. And I thought about that. I mean, this was an area, again, not too many people, but there were people out there. Again, it's like, and I found it interesting. You mentioned one of the numbers, like 600 people being served. Sometimes I think we think about the big numbers, and we don't think about the small numbers, where it would be so vitally important for that 600 plus people to have this access. It really is. Small steps can be big steps, can't they?
Well, Serenity or Wittenberg Tel has grown incrementally, and they've gotten 3 Public Service Commission grants over the years, and they'll do it 100 homes at a time. And so that, you know, they're a small company. They get the work done. You know, and a lot of other companies are trying. We've tried partnering with, worked with a number of companies on grant applications. And again, you're not going to get it done all at once. I mentioned the Rural Digital Opportunity Fund. That's a 6-year build-out in those areas. So that's 6 years if you don't have internet is an eternity. Mm-hmm. One of the other things that kind of drove us is back in, right before the start of the pandemic, we were having significant problems with Frontier in particular, where the landlines are old copper lines and they were deteriorating. They're not expanding new coverage into homes, and people were that couldn't get cell service in those areas, and some of them were on Lifeline, and they couldn't. It wasn't reliable. And so we sat down with Frontier between, at that time I chaired the Infrastructure Committee, and Craig McEwen chaired the Public Safety Committee. We met jointly with Frontier. They brought in several technical crews and upgraded service, and we haven't had, we've hardly had any complaints since. There's still some concerns. They provide internet through the DSL over the line, the old, they're at 10.1, which is not adequate for today. But we've made some progress and improved basic services. But we still have, people are using cell phones more and more. We need to make sure that we've got that capability to work with that and get that hard line, that fiber to the premise.
And maybe a question that's a little unfair, but you talked about going back, number of years when the decision was made to basically have to partner with private groups. Was that a mistake? Was that a mistake? Is it something that you wish was different? And is it something that can work for the people that really need it?
Well, it has to work in Wisconsin because the state statutes basically prohibit us from providing that last mile service, except for some very narrow circumstances. Unlike Minnesota, our neighbor, where they can get involved in some of the local governments have taken a leadership role in expanding broadband. So we as counties are creatures of the state. We can only do what we're authorized to do. And we're specifically limited in what we can do relative to broadband service. And so we don't have a choice but to partner. And that makes sense. Particularly now that we've got all of the federal and state dollars and, again, leveraging some of the county dollars to try to do that. We can't, it's hard for us to provide all that all the service to every resident, but we can hopefully direct that into areas of the most need where they're unserved or underserved. Some places simply don't have any internet. Others have it at a low speed that makes it sort of dysfunctional, and particularly if you got 2-3 users in a home trying to do virtual education, telehealth, telework. So we can't, in an ideal world, it would be, driven more than just return on investment, but that's why you sometimes have government providing those services, and why it's important for us to keep our eye on what the needs of the county are.
Again, we're talking to John Robinson from the Marathon County Board, and that kind of leads me to a kind of a bigger question. And actually, before I ask this, before we finish up on broadband, anything else we need to know? And also, real quickly, did in some ways the pandemic focus people in a different way that otherwise they had not been focused on, because all of a sudden we realized the need in order for education and for work that maybe we didn't realize before then?
It accelerated the transition into the virtual world is the best way. I worked for the DNR before I retired, and we had begun to use WebEx or go to meetings and other things as a way of doing business to try to avoid unnecessary travel or travel costs. But the pandemic just abruptly shut everything down. And so if you wanted to communicate, your workplace shifted for many people to their home. Education was shut down. So it really accelerated the need and really highlighted the inadequacy of the current system. And I think with that highlighting the need, there's been a response both in the state level through Governor Evers' leadership and on the federal level for putting more funds into broadband expansion.
I want to ask you a little bit of a bigger question, because it actually got me thinking, because I was reading a story in the City Pages a week or two ago, talking about some of the top stories of last year, and it talked about one aspect with the Marathon County Board, a lot of folks who were a little upset about certain policies that were being brought in, including Community for All. People started running and being elected, and it became maybe a more conservative group. a lot of folks don't think government works. And sometimes I think that, you know, I think in some cases when I talk to you about broadband, I think, well, sometimes the private sector doesn't work. What's your feeling about how much government can do and do it well? Because you've been around it for such a long time in different areas. What have you learned in terms of, because I do think sometimes we get this constant pounding now about how government is not the answer. Well, I think government is the answer in a number of ways. And for someone like yourself who has been around it for such a long time, how do you go about talking to folks that maybe much more conservative folks on the county board who think, well, government can't work? What can you tell them to say, hey, open your mind that government can be part of a solution?
Well, I think you have to go back at the basic core services that government provides. You know, law enforcement, the jail, public health services, libraries, you know, road construction maintenance and parks. You know, who in the private sector is going to provide those at an affordable rate? And you think back to the early days of even the city where you had multiple fire companies trying to respond in this community and other communities, and it was chaos. So there are some things that government does because there's a need to coordinate and have a basic level of service. I think it's important that we keep in mind that government can't always solve all the problems either. And so there are certain things that we shouldn't be doing. We shouldn't be running commercial establishments and not necessarily doing manufacturing and other things. So what is that balance? But there are core services, human services, social services, child welfare services, jails, other things that government, I think, does a good job at. Mm-hmm. The 911 dispatch and other things. So the question is what are those functions? You know, you can obviously look at different ranges of involvement. Are you the sole provider? Are you working with other partners, as we're doing with internet? But you know, it's important to continually evaluate how you're providing those services and do what's best for the public.
It's interesting when you talk about internet and you talk about healthcare and some other areas where I think an argument could be made that government could be more involved. And maybe, but now in this era, it feels like the deregulation that probably goes back to when you were becoming mayor of Wausau. When the deregulation was, I think, really starting to prosper in the 70s, and even during the Carter administration, and then especially in the 80s. Do you ever see a chance of maybe that pendulum swinging, going back a little bit? Because it feels like over the last 40-plus years, the idea of government being involved in any area they're currently not involved in is something that it would be very difficult to make happen.
I think it depends upon the issue in what the need is and what the options are. I think there will always be a need for a centralized government or some sort of government from a regulatory perspective, building codes and other things. And I think there are times, you know, when I was in the legislature in the 1980s, we went through a period of deregulation. We used to have a hospital rate setting commission, a capital expenditure review process, and they helped hold the healthcare costs down. We've deregulated, and you've seen a proliferation of all these capital expenses, and many times the way that you pay for those is increased utilization, which has driven the healthcare costs up. And you know, we have healthcare costs that continually go up at 2-3 times the rate of inflation. So in that case, was deregulation worthwhile? No. I think there are consequences both in overutilization and underserving, driving the cost up and making it unaffordable for people without insurance. But the question is did the old system work, and what's the proper role? And therein lies the issue and the question you really have to do. So if government is a regulator, what are they regulating and for what purpose? And if they're the provider, what service are they providing and for what purpose? And how do we maximize the participation of the private sector in those where it's advantageous to the delivery of the service?
I got to tell you, I think it would be a very interesting course to have you talk about cause that issue as a college professor, because I think that kind of education would be very, I think, enlightening for a lot of people to kind of really take a deep look at what government can do and what government can't do. But we're going to have to leave it right there. There's so much more that I would love to kind of delve into and put you in a spot that you probably wouldn't want to be in. But John, we appreciate you coming in. Hopefully we can get you back and talk about other things that are going on as well very soon.
And thank you for having me. Sorry I was late.
No, absolutely. On Monday night, the Marathon High School girls basketball team plays host to Westfield. Hear all the exciting action live on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO, starting with pregame show at 7 and opening tip at 7:15. Marathon High School basketball on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230 is brought to you by Barney Brothers Kitchen and Bath, the Cloverbelt Credit Union, Sun Printing, The Dirks Group, Brickner's of Little Chicago, Fisher Transportation, Four Seasons Screen Printing, County Materials, Twin Forest Products, the Marathon Athletic Club, Marathon Cheese, Marathon City Sports Center, Marathon Family Dentistry, Marathon Park City, Mark's Chiropractic, and People's State Bank. It's Marathon hosting Westfield in high school girls basketball. Monday night, starting with pregame show at 7 and the opening tip at 7:15. On Bull Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230. Online at bullfallsradio.com. Mobile devices and Alexa by searching WXCO. Radio 98.9 and 1230, BullFallsRadio.com, mobile devices, and Alexa by searching WXCO. Again, thanks to John Robinson for joining us here on the program. Again, if you missed any of our interview or any of our programs, you can go to our podcast page. Just go to BullFallsRadio.com, click on programs, and you'll be able to click on and see all the civic media programs and be able to listen back to anything that you've missed, whether it's my show, whether it's Pat Kreitlow's show, whether it's the Devil's Advocates, As Goes Wisconsin. I mean, anything and everything. Just go to BullFallsRadio.com, click on shows, and then you can find your way there and listen to our previous broadcast here on Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Quick note that coming up on Monday, we will be back. Bill Conway, the chairman of the Marathon County Democratic Party, will be joining us, and really interested to hear what Bill has to say in terms of trying to build out the party. As again, you know, it is a slow, steady build out in order to change the numbers within a county. So we'll talk about that and other big issues that Bill Conway is keeping an eye on. We'll talk to him coming up on Monday here on the program. Today is January the 6th of 2023. A few famous folks are celebrating their birthdays today. Rowan Atkinson, who is Mr. Bean, is 68 years old today. Also, TV personality Julie Chen is 53. Kate McKinnon from Saturday Night Live, also a number of movies as well, 39 years old today. And model Arena Shank is 37 years old today. If you out there celebrating your birthday, happy birthday to you from all of us here at Bull Falls Radio 98.9 and 1230. Some famous events that occurred on this date in history, the 6th day of January, 1838, Samuel Morse first publicly demonstrated his telegraph in Morristown, New Jersey. Back in 1975, 48 years ago today, Wheel of Fortune premiered. Created by Merv Griffin, it is the longest-running syndicated game show in TV history. Boy, I bet you remember this one. Back in 1994, on this very date, figure skater Nancy Kerrigan was clubbed on the right leg by an assailant in Detroit. Four men, including the ex-husband of Kerrigan's rival Tanya Harding, were later sentenced to prison. On this date in 2001, with the vanquished Vice President Al Gore presiding, Congress certified Republican George W. Bush the winner of the close and bitterly contested 2000 presidential election. On this date in 2014, Janet Yellen became the first woman to hold the post of chairman of the U.S. Federal Reserve. And, of course, you can't talk about famous events that occurred on this date in history than to go back to 2001, January the 6th of 2021, January the 6th, 2021, a huge mob of supporters of Donald Trump attacked the U.S. Capitol in Washington, D.C. in an attempt to overturn his defeat in the 2020 presidential election. Five people died either shortly before, during, or following the event. 138 police officers were injured. Four officers who responded to the attack died by suicide within 7 months. Some special events being celebrated today. It is Apple Tree Day. It is also Bean Day, I think for Mr. Bean. Cuddle Up Day. Also Shortbread Day. Smith Day. Take a Poet to Lunch Day. Take Down the Christmas Tree Day. And World Day for War Orphans. Well, heading towards the weekend, as I said, tonight we have high school basketball doubleheader between Wausau West and DC Everest. I'll be back on the air at 5:40 for the pregame. Boys tip at 6, followed by the girls at 7:45 tomorrow. Marquette basketball. Marquette takes on Georgetown. Marquette off to a very good start this season. Golden Eagles in a Big East matchup with the Georgetown Hoyas. 12:30 for the pregame, 1 o'clock for the opening tip. Coming up between starting at 4 o'clock, I should say, it is the Devil's Advocates. Mike and Dom will be on top of everything going on. And what a week. I mean, really, it has been quite a week, hasn't it, with what's been going on. We have not seen this in the House of Representatives for well over a century. And again, there's been some chuckles because Kevin McCarthy being forced to struggle. But at the same time, when you hear about some of the deals he's trying to pull to get these 20 far-right Republicans on board for his election as Speaker, and knowing that in 8-9 months we're going to have to deal with a very significant issue in terms of the debt ceiling and making sure that we can keep the government funding and not default on our bills. What these 20 Republicans who have been against Kevin McCarthy have been saying in terms of what they want can lead to some major, major issues for this country coming up later in the year. So it's going to be interesting. It does look like Kevin McCarthy is in decent shape in order to become the next Speaker of the House. But at some point, you got to have a spine. And I don't know if Kevin McCarthy has really shown that over the last few days. Have yourselves a terrific weekend. Really, get out there. It looks like we may get a little bit of sunshine finally, but get out there, enjoy it, and then make sure you come back here Monday starting at 2 o'clock. Again, Bill Conway will be our guest, Marathon County Democratic Party chair, joining us on Monday. I am Chad Holmes. It is the Chad Holmes Show, and we'll talk to you on Monday here on Bow Falls Radio, 98.9 and 1230.